Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Michael Hoggard continues his series examining the spirit realm. This Friday and Saturday, Southwest Radio Ministries will be in Bel Air, Kansas for our Prophecy in the News Live event, Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th. Come hear Larry Spargimino, Greg Patton, Micah Van Hus, Larry Stamm, Josh Davis, Clayton Van Hus, and Dr. Rob Linstead. A special One World update will be shared, biblical mysteries will be revealed, and the latest update on what is happening in Israel. All this and much more will be covered at the Prophecy in the News Live event this Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th. Register today for this free event. Seating is limited, so don't delay. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, or you can register by phone, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News Live, this Friday and Saturday at Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, Kansas. Now, here's Micah Van Hus.
Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall. I am your host today, Micah Van Hus. I am the producer of Marginal Mysteries for Southwest Radio Ministries. And today, again, our guest is Pastor Michael Hoggard. We are talking about sightings of the spirit realms. How are you today, Pastor?
I'm doing wonderful today, better than I deserve, and that's by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen. So you were talking yesterday about the demon, the spirit realm, and actually the ability to see them through cameras and videos, and maybe even the tearing of the veil towards the times that we're living in. So today I want to pick up and ask you, start by asking you the question, do demons stick with objects, houses, or even specific families?
Sure, sure. Number one, I answered this question about haunted houses, and this is actually in the video, because I go back to, and I don't know if you remember this, but I go back to the 70s, and there was a house in Amityville, New York, that a man about 20-some-odd years old, his last name was DeFeo, but he one night he just got up, got a rifle, and he shot his parents twice, and then he went and killed all four of his siblings. The youngest one, I think, was 9 years old, just in cold blood. And he doesn't, to the day he died, he never remembered doing this. It was like something had taken him over, causing him to kill his parents. Well, obviously, they couldn't sell the house after, you know, all these family members had died. And it was a really nice house and fairly expensive. We're talking about in the 70s. And so for a house in the 70s to cost over $100,000, it's a nice house. Finally, they were able to sell it to this family called the Lutz family for $80,000. The Lutz family spent exactly 28 days in that house. And one night, they all ran out of that front door screaming bloody murder. They all got in the car and they left that house, and they never even went back to the house to get their belongings, their furniture, nothing. They completely walked away and they said, we're never going back in there again. And so that got me fascinated. Is it possible that devils can exist in a house? Can there be haunted houses? The answer, of course, is you can find it in Isaiah chapter 13, where God is describing Babylon, Mystery Babylon and so on. And he basically says that what's going to happen is that all the houses that people live in, people's going to leave those houses, and what's going to move in are dragons and owls and the fowls of the air and so on. Those are all indicate evil spirits, especially owls. Owls is a very, very powerful sign of spirit activity. Then in Isaiah 34, which is a companion to Isaiah 13, it says the same thing. It said that these doleful creatures are going to live not only in houses, but dragons are going to live in palaces, you know, houses made for kings and rich people and so on. That dragons, which we know to be spirits, they're going to dwell there. And then there's Revelation chapter 18. we see Babylon again, and Babylon and whatever she represents is the cage of every unclean spirit, all kinds of devils, and so on. So we know that it is very possible, in fact, probable, that in certain old hotels, certain old houses, especially where a murder has taken place, where innocent blood has been shed, you'll have very powerful and very scary demonic activity related to those houses. But it's not just houses. It could be a barn. It could be a place in a forest area where you're going to find a lot of these spirits that dwelling there. Mm-hmm. That, to me, was the reason why God told Josiah and other kings to cut down the groves, because they were basically garden areas that was inhabited by evil spirits, unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. And God said, I don't want you to just take the idol out. I want you to cut down all the trees. Cut everything down, eliminate that grove, and that will eliminate the stronghold that these devils have.
We see with Legion, of course, they possessed bodies, but those bodies inhabited the tombs when Jesus comes across the sea. And absolutely, when we're talking about locations, there's another location which I want to get into, and that's Hollywood and the celebrities. Now, just before that, when I was in politics years ago, a very wise man said something to me when I was trying to pass a piece of legislation. This is, he said to me, Micah, Satan does not need to be in California. Satan needs to be in Tennessee. So talk to us a little bit. That was John DeBerry. He's an advisor to Governor Bill Lee right now in Tennessee. Talk to us about Hollywood and celebrities and their selling their souls.
Oh, absolutely. This goes all the way back to what is mentioned as the father of rock and roll, a man by the name of Robert Johnson. He was a man that he liked to go to these honky-tonks. He was black, and he would go to these honky-tonks, and he would try to get to sit in with the players. He played the guitar, but those who listened to him said he did a lousy job. He was a horrible guitar player, couldn't really sing. And so a lot of times he would want to play with them, and they finally just told him, no, you're not going to play with us anymore. You stink. Okay, you're making us sound bad. So Robert Johnson went away, and there is a story, and he actually wrote a song about it, that he got to this intersection of two roads crossing one another, and he got there in the center part of that crisscross these roads, and basically asked the devil to give him the ability to play the guitar. So he's gone for several months. When he comes back, he pulls his guitar out. He's added a seventh string to a six-string guitar. And everybody's going, what in the world is that? Well, he starts playing, and all of a sudden, he can play way better than he's ever been playing before. He's doing riffs and runs on the guitar, playing chords using that seventh string. I mean, you've only got five fingers at best that you can play with, but he's using that seventh string to play some of those notes and so on. And everybody's just like flabbergasted, and they're like, wasn't this the guy that didn't know how to play? Now he's out playing everybody. So he died at the age of 27, and he was killed by a jealous boyfriend. There is actually, you can look this up, what's called the 27 Club. There is a whole list of rock and roll artists that died when they were 27 years old. Artists that, when you look at their lifestyle and look at how they've lived and the things that they sing about and so on, you know, Robert Johnson basically told the devil, who he thought was the devil there at that crossroads, that I'll give you my soul if you let me play better than everybody else has ever played. So apparently that's exactly what happened. And it makes you think that some of these singers like Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and the list goes on and on and on of rock stars and pop stars that apparently just told the devil, you can have my soul, But it's just, I want to be rich. I want to be famous. I want to have a, I want to take lots of drugs. I want to have a lot of women and so on. And so that seems like the devil takes them up on that, but he takes them. He kills them when they're 27 years old. It's always a price to pay when you mess with the devil. And so I do believe Satan or his devils inhabit film studios, TV show studios, music studios, that there are spirits all through that, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's Nashville, whether it's Detroit, whether it's, you know, Compton, or wherever. I believe that devils inhabit certain types of music, and people can be influenced by that. You mentioned inanimate objects, and I'm glad you brought that up. There was a husband and wife team that investigated the house in Amityville, New York. They were sort of like the first Ghostbusters, really. And I don't know how they got into this, but they went around the country investigating places where allegedly there were devil manifestations, familiar spirits, unclean spirits, and so on. And when I say familiar spirits, I talk about this in the video, that familiar spirits are spirits that would be familiar to somebody. In other words, let's say I have an uncle that died. I have a, he was a World War II Marine. He died several years ago. It's possible that a devil can take on his form, look like him, sound like him, and then use that to deceive people into believing that this medium or this person who is doing divination can actually be in contact with someone that you know that has died and has gone into what they call the other side, the spiritual realm. But that's not true. I did a study of this. It's in my notes. It's going to be in the video. Is it possible for those that are dead to have contact with us who are in the living realm? And the short answer of it is absolutely not. It's not possible. So what is it that these people are seeing? They are seeing familiar spirits, spirits that are posing as people that they might know in order to, I don't know, gain some notoriety or just whatever the reasons are. But that's what familiar spirits are.
Yes, sir. And right now we are talking with Pastor Michael Hoggard about sightings of the spirit realm and demons, and specifically, do they possess a place or inhabit a place? And absolutely. So if you want to hear more from Pastor Hoggard, we'll continue after this. But we are hosting the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference, June the 7th and the 8th in Cincinnati, Ohio this year, 2024. And we are having a slew of speakers speak about the mysterious topics of God's creation. Speakers including Derek Gilbert, Rudy Landa, Pastor Michael Hoggard, Greg Patton, Mac Dominic, Josh Davis, and myself, Micah Van Hus. Again, this is the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. There's a lot to do in the Cincinnati area. So come on up, come to the conference, do some other things with your family. June 7th and 8th. You can sign up at swrc.com, swrc.com events, or marginalmysteries.com. And again, Pastor Michael Hoggard will be there, but we're going to continue our discussion with Pastor Hoggard. Michael, I want to ask, these spiritual sightings and these demons, we are starting to see congressional reports of UFOs. Of course, UFOs have been seen for a very long time, but we're starting to see the congressional report and other things that more and more it seems that these UFOs are coming to light and coming more into the mainstream. So what connection is there with these demons and UFOs?
I had a video come up in my YouTube feed about a month ago. I decided to watch it, and I was, number one, I was absolutely blessed by watching this, and it had everything to do with UFOs and the Apollo program. And there's a lot of rumors out there that say that some of the Apollo astronauts, like Apollo 11, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, that they saw a craft land on the moon not too far from them We know that some of the other astronauts, whether it was the Gemini program, the Mercury program, the Apollo program, the shuttle program, International Space Station, that these astronauts have seen objects flying under what looks like in some sort of intelligent control. There's this running joke about NASA's feed from the ISS. NASA is supposed to maintain a feed 24 hours, 7 days a week over satellite or over YouTube or whatever to show, you know, outer space from the view of the International Space Station. And usually when a UFO comes into the camera angle, somebody at NASA or whoever automatically shuts the video feed off and says, we're having technical difficulties, blah, blah, blah. In other words, look the other way this UFO goes out of the way. But anyway, I want to mention by a man by the name of Charlie Duke. Charlie Duke was the CAPCOM, the capsule communicator for the Apollo 11 crew, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Mike Collins. He was talking with Glenn Beck. He was doing an interview with Glenn Beck. And Charlie Duke, in this interview, he said that, you know, the whole time that he was working for NASA there in Houston, he said, me and my family, he said, we went to church every Sunday, you know, that time, you know, that was okay to do. You just get up as a family and go to church. And he said, but I didn't really have a relationship with God. He said, I did not trust Jesus as my Savior at the time. And he said that, you know, once you go to the moon, that's what you've done with your life. There's nothing else to climb. There's nothing higher to achieve in this world. And so he got off into various things, business ventures, you know, and maybe a little bit of sin and drinking and so on. And so many of these Apollo astronauts, their marriages ended up in divorce. His, I don't think, did. But he was asked the specific question, you know, what about these UFOs? What do you think they are? Charlie Duke, this amazing Apollo, I think he was Apollo 16, one of the last two Apollos went to the moon. Charlie Duke said, absolutely, 100%, there's no doubt in my mind that these are demons. There's absolutely no doubt. And he said, these are demons. And he said, they are appearing as these objects in the sky. They're appearing as these different types of aliens that people see, whether the typical gray aliens with the big head, the black eyes, the skinny gray limbs, a very, very pale gray face. And by the way, that color, gray or pale, is associated with death. It's the pale horse that comes out, and he's carrying death with him. When someone dies, all of the blood runs out of their face. We have a lot of blood in our face. That's what makes our faces red and, you know, nice and nice to look at. But when someone dies, all of that blood drains out of their face and they turn a very pale color. But anyway, he said, I asked God what they were. Apparently he had seen these before. And he said, I went to God. And he said, I asked God, God, show me what these things are. I want to know. And he said, one day when he was during his prayer time, he said, the Lord just kind of nudged him and gave him this piece of information, is that, yes, they are in fact devils. They're demons. And you shouldn't have anything to do with them. Mankind shouldn't have anything to do with them. And number one, for an Apollo astronaut to even answer the question was amazing to me. But number two, because of the way he answered it, is saying that these things are demons. They're devils. They're familiar spirits or unclean spirits or whatever. So I was just impressed with that. And I did an episode of my podcast one time a few weeks ago, Duke and his answer. And so right now, Charlie Duke, I've always admired the astronauts, even as a kid. But right now, Charlie Duke's at the top of the list for me.
Well, so earlier you had talked a little bit today about the serpent ideology, and I had seen that in your video as well, maybe as if it relates to the Eastern religions. Talk to us in our last little bit here about the Eastern religions and the serpent ideology?
Oh, yes. You can see it clearly that religions around the world, especially various Asian religions like Hindu in India, Buddhism, and which is closely related to that, or Sikhism or whatever. What's interesting to me is that Hindu, the religion of Hindu, of course, they worship 330 million gods. Now, I would hate to confess my sins to even half of that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they worship a spirit that they call a Naga, N-A-G-A. And when I looked at that word, I remembered that the Hebrew word for the serpents in the Old Testament was Nakash. Hmm. And I thought, well, there's got to be a connection there. I don't think it's just an accident that the two words are very, very similar. And so it turns out that not only do the Hindu worship serpents, but one particular Naga that they worship has one body, but it has seven heads. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what the beast has. It's exactly what the dragon has in Revelation 12 and so on. And so you're looking at a beast with seven heads. And that's the beast that these Hindus worship. Now, I'm going to touch on one thing that kind of put these two ideas together of the serpent and what we talked about at the very beginning. We didn't really answer this question is, can spirits or devils inhabit inanimate objects? Mm-hmm. I mentioned the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren. They're the ones who inspired, number one, the Conjuring movies, mm-hmm. and number two, the movies based upon a Raggedy Ann doll called Annabelle. Now, Ed and Lorraine are dead. They've gone on to wherever they're going, and they left behind all of this stuff, and it's sort of like a museum, but they've got the original Raggedy Ann doll that was called Annabelle. They've got it in a glass case under lock and key, and they left instructions, do not open this case. Mm-hmm. Do not open this door. Do not take this doll out for any curiosity you might have. And that's because they know that that doll and the presence of that doll has caused lots of problems. I've seen videos where people would have certain dolls or certain, you know, any kind of toy or something like that that looks like a human, to where these things are freaky. They end up making movements. They end up rolling their eyes around. They end up turning their heads all by themselves, mm-hmm. and so on. And I equate that to when Moses had Aaron take his rod and drop it there in front of Pharaoh, and it became a serpent. Well, the Bible then says that Pharaoh's magicians, they started using enchantments, which are spells, you know, witchcraft spells, and they basically were able to turn their rods, an inanimate object, into a living creature, mm-hmm. because they turned them into serpents. And so the power and the ability that certain devils have in both in their world and in our realm should never be underestimated. They are powerful. They are getting, I believe, more powerful because I think there's more occult activity going on in the world. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
And I think we see examples of possession of inanimate objects in Scripture. One would be likely the statue of Dagon that falls before the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
We also have the teraphim, the idols of Jacob and Laban, which speak in Zechariah 10:2. So I think there are some examples of these inanimate objects. Would a Ouija board fall in this category?
Oh, my goodness. I tell everybody when I bring up Ouija boards, do not be around a Ouija board. Basically, you're practicing divination. Mm. And in that case, the idea is that you and somebody else put your fingertips on the planchette, which is the thing that moves around, And the idea is that your fingers are going to be guided across this board to point to certain letters. The letters then become words. And basically, it's the idea that you're not actually controlling the motions of your arm. Something is doing it for you.
Finish that thought and then tell us how we can get a hold of you.
But basically, they are an evil divination tool. God says don't practice divination. That's an abomination to him. And folks can watch our YouTube channel. You just look for Michael Hoggard there. You can watch all of our videos on Sermon Audio, sermonaudio.com/Bethel. They can send me an email at pastormichaelonline@gmail.com.
Come see Pastor Hoggard and myself at Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference in Cincinnati on June 7th and 8th. You can sign up at swrc.com, events, and marginalmysteries.com. Pastor Hoggard, it's been a pleasure talking with you today.
You too, Micah. God bless.
God bless.
The complete two-day radio presentation by Michael Hoggard on the spirit realm is now available on CD. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. And make sure you order Michael Hoggard's brand new DVD entitled Sightings. In this powerful DVD series, Michael Hoggard deals with the subject of people who are possessed by devils, including video clips of people acting in bizarre, unnatural ways. In the new DVD series Sightings, the topic of familiar spirits is examined. These spirits are usually associated by people with those who have died. Michael Hoggard looks at exactly what the Bible says about familiar spirits. Sightings DVD series. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. When you call, make sure you ask for Michael Hoggard's brand new DVD, Sightings. 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Demon possession, faces of death, the Nightcrawler are all examined in light of Scripture. Sightings, the brand new DVD from Michael Hoggard. Order today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, as we begin a brand new month, Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill will share an important update on Southwest Radio Ministries. And we'll preview the latest issue of Prophecy in the News magazine. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.